Federal budget cuts impact medical research at the University of Utah. Governor Herbert appoints a new UDOT director. And last year's health record data breach will cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The University of Utah expects to lose $19 million of its medical research budget as a result of sequestration. KUER's Andrea Smartin looks at how that loss will impact the research, industry, and health of the state.
In the genetics building on the University of Utah campus, on the wall of cardiologist Dean Lee's lab is a map of North and South Korea. He uses it as inspiration for a pair of graduate students. North Korea, in this case, represents cancer.
This is something that I put up on Jay's desk to remind him what we're really trying to do. This is us, a cardiology lab, invading the field of cancer.
Lee is vice dean of research for the School of Medicine, and historically, he's been well-funded. His lab is focused on inflammation and its effect on cells. He believes his work could have an impact on a range of diseases, including cancer, arthritis, and influenza. For him, sequestration means he has to make hard choices about what he can study.
I have to be very careful how I invade into cancer, given this funding issue. So I can't shift my whole lab to invade cancer. But if you ask me, where do I think I could make the biggest mortality difference? It might be in cancer.
Lee says some areas of disease research, like cancer, have been steadily losing funding. And now with sequestration, only 5 to 6% of research proposals get funded. As an administrator at the U, Lee is concerned that many research proposals from senior scientists are being rejected.
You could potentially see valuable people with 20 years of research experience who have contributed to the field have to shutter their labs.
But more significantly, Lee is worried that the younger generation of scientists is getting discouraged and leaving the field. The result, he says, is that the entire industry contracts over time.
I think you will see less graduate students, less postdoctoral fellows, less technicians, less laboratories, less discoveries that can truly fuel a change in patient care 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Lee's graduate student, who is trying to invade the field of cancer, Jae Hook Deo, lives in fear that he might have to go back to South Korea.
I don't want to go back to Korea. I just want to stay in here to study cancer biology. If they cut the money, we don't have anything to study. So I'm really worried about that.
The university is losing $19 million, mostly in grants from the National Institutes of Health due to sequestration. Senior Vice President for Health Sciences at the university, Vivian Lee, says in the short term, the cuts cause a chilling effect on the science. She says in the long term, the public will miss out on health discoveries.
Tomorrow, are our lives going to be changed? No, they're not. But in the next 10 to 20 years, the discoveries that are now ongoing that are moving their way into clinical practice, those are the ones that are getting shut off. So it's going to have a huge impact down the line.
Dean Lee says it's not just public health at stake. He says the state and the country are at risk of losing a competitive advantage.
That's, I think, a very stark threat to Utah's stamp as well as America's stamp on the biomedical enterprise, which is an industry that the United States does control.
Lee himself has received generous job offers from institutions in China and Singapore, and he's already seeing students choose to study or work outside the U.S.
There are other countries who are actually watching in amazement the United States retreat from this sort of investment. They're incredulous about it, but they're incredulous with a smile. It gives them a tremendous opportunity to grab a pole position in something that we have been the leaders in.
The Obama administration's proposed budget restores some funding for biomedical research, but Congress has yet to approve a budget. In the meantime, sequestration is in effect, and medical researchers are making choices that they say could affect health discoveries in this country for decades to come. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
After a nationwide search, Governor Gary Herbert has appointed Carlos Braceras as the new director of the Utah Department of Transportation. Carlos Braceras has worked for the Utah Department of Transportation for almost 27 years, and until yesterday's appointment had spent the past 12 as UDOT's deputy director, working directly under former director John Nord. Braceras says as the new head of UDOT, one of his main focuses will be to create better relationships with local communities.
I believe that there's a lot of improvement we can do in our relationships to help communities be successful in their objectives to create more livable communities. I believe there's more we can do to help improve the safety and access for bicyclists and pedestrians.
Braceras is also eager to improve the public perception of UDOT in the wake of the controversy surrounding payments to the losing bidder of the I-15 core project in Utah County. He says he hopes to do that by becoming more transparent.
I'm committed to improving that transparency so that they can get on at any time to, say, a website and follow the money, is what I call it. And I want to be a partner, so my commitment is very open and continuous communication with the public and with all other agencies.
As director, Braceras will be responsible for all of UDOT's 1,800 employees and the design, construction, and maintenance of Utah's 6,000 miles of highways. A new report shows that last year's data breach of Utah health records was a costly mistake with far-reaching consequences. An independent analysis by Javelin Strategy and Research predicts that the total amount of fraud perpetrated could approach $406 million. KUER's Andrea Smartin returns and has this report.
Among the 280,000 victims whose Social Security numbers were exposed in a data breach of a Utah Health Department server, Javelin Strategy and Research predicts that 122,000 of them will be victims of identity fraud. Senior analyst for security risk and fraud Al Pasquale estimates that each victim will spend more than $770 trying to resolve the fraud, and about 20 hours of time that they could have spent at work or taking care of children.
Consumers are going to spend about 2.5 million hours resolving these fraud cases. So there's serious financial impact to this particular data breach.
Beyond that, Pasquale says there are additional costs absorbed by the banks and the retailers who become involved in the fraud, bringing the grand total to $406 million. The state itself has already spent about $9 million on security audits, upgrades, and credit monitoring for victims. And the Utah Department of Health announced last month that they are extending the free monitoring for another year.
These breaches have repercussions far beyond the organization that was breached. So that's everyone's responsibility now to start doing something about it, because otherwise we're all going to share the pain as well.
So far, 10 breach victims have reported instances of fraud. Pasquale expects there's much more to come. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah says it's backing off a bribery investigation of Utah Attorney General John Swallow. A spokeswoman said yesterday that it would leave the investigation to the Public Integrity Section of the U.S. Justice Department. Businessman Jeremy Johnson has accused Swallow of being part of a bribery scheme. The Salt Lake City Council could vote today on the route for the second phase of the Sugar House streetcar line. The first phase of the project is scheduled to be completed by the end of this year. It runs from the Central Point track station on 2nd West to about 1050 East. The council will consider Tuesday whether or not the next phase of the streetcar should head north on 11th East or east on 21st South. Last month, about 200 people showed up for a public hearing on the project. Most were against the 11th East alignment, arguing the street is too narrow for a streetcar. At least two members of the Salt Lake City Council are also opposed to that route. But other members of the council, as well as Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, say the 1100 East alignment is the most viable. The vote could take place during the regular city council meeting starting at 7 p.m. Authorities in Grand County have identified a 32-year-old man killed in an accident involving a rope swing on Sunday. Adam Jason Weber had used the swing in Day Canyon to reach a spot on a rock wall. He was trying to refasten his harness onto a separate rappel line when he fell about 100 feet. The rope swing stunt has been made so popular by YouTube videos that the state of Utah has banned the activity by commercial outfitters on state lands. A scientific conference on oil shale development returns to the University of Utah today. An emphasis on this year's conference is how computer modeling can help companies mine and produce oil shale and capture carbon emissions. The federal government decided last year to make 1,250 square miles of land available for oil shale development across parts of Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. Potential developers must prove their research before getting started. More than 6,000 coyotes have been shot under a bounty program in Utah. Hunters get $50 for every coyote they kill. It's one of the nation's largest hunter-based efforts to manage coyotes. The goal is to increase mule deer populations. John Shivick of the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources says it's too early to tell how well it's doing. And finally, the U.S. Forest Service is adding 7 planes to its air tanker fleet for the upcoming wildfire season. The new planes fly faster and can drop a larger payload of fire retardant than others in the past. They include a converted DC-10 jumbo jet that's bigger than anything the Forest Service has used on a regular basis. The newer planes join the aging fleet of 8 large tankers, mostly Korean War-era submarine chasers. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, May 7th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.